Chapter Mem, Pasuk Zayin. Page 218. The story. Okay, the story up to now. Yosef is thrown into prison. Comes into prison. The butler and the baker have a dream. They not only do they have a dream, but they each have dreamed the interpretation of the other one's dream. Yosef comes to them in the morning. They're very upset, very aggrieved. And Yosef, this is where up to now. So Pasuk Zayin says, "Vayishal esrisi parileim asher ite b'mishmer." Yosef asked the officers of Pari, who were with him in prison, Beis Adenov in his master's house, Leimard, saying, and he said to them, "Madua pneichem roim ayim? Why do you appear downcast today? Why are you so upset today?" Now the Mefarshim ask, why does the Pasuk say this whole Megillah? The officers of Pari, who are with him in prison, in the house of his master. We know already this. It should have said, that he asked him, what's going on? Why does it say this whole Megillah? So the Mefarshim say, this answers with what chutzpah did Yosef ask them the question. Yosef is a slave. These were officers of Pari. Right? You don't come to an office, a slave doesn't come to an office and say, why are you in a bad mood today? It's because you're not done. So the answer is, the Pasuk is explaining, because they were with him in prison. And they were in his master's house. And Yosef was in charge of the prisoners. So therefore he asked them, why are you upset today? Vayemru Elov. So they said to him the following. Chalem chalamnu. We dreamt a dream. Upeisir ein eisei. There's nobody who can interpret it. Now there's a number of interpretations. What do you mean there's nobody that can interpret it? The Ramban learns that they did call for interpreters, but nobody was able to interpret it for them, for their liking. The Arachayim learns, no, there's nobody that can offer any interpretation. Meaning, the Ramban says, they came along to say, nobody can interpret our dreams. You know, nobody in the world could interpret our dreams. Other people say, the Arachayim says, that what they said is, that there's nobody that can give proper interpretation for us, or any interpretation whatsoever. So Yosef said to them the following: Halayla likim pisreinim, Hashem has interpretations, or as it's said in other, do not interpretations belong to Hashem? Sapru noli, please tell it to me. Meaning, as the Radak explains, just say God makes you dream, God gives the answer to the dream. So if you tell it to me, perhaps Hashem will give me the intelligence to be able to answer your dream. It's one interpretation. Another thing is, Halela likim pisreinim basically means that the only interpretation of a dream is only in the hand of Hashem. Because he says to them as follows, what are you afraid of? I'll interpret it wrong, so what? Only Hashem has the interpretations of dreams. Who cares? You have nothing to lose. Basically, Yosef is telling them, you have nothing to lose by telling me the dream, because if God doesn't want it, it's not going to happen anyway. Another thing that Ramban says, why did Yosef say this to them? That in case anything bad came from it, Yosef wanted to make sure that he shouldn't get blamed for it. So he said, listen, this is not my interpretation of your dream. This is God's. So whatever happens has nothing to do with me. Okay, or like he says as follows. The Sipurna says an interesting concept. Man can interpret dreams only because they were created in the image of God. What does this mean? dreams, as a rule, are partial prophecy. Dreams, as Rashi said before in Chumash, there isn't a dream without foolish things in it. Every dream has foolish things in it, but a lot of dreams have prophecies. And therefore, he says, why could a person interpret the dream? Because a person is created in the image of God, and therefore they're able to interpret the dreams. And like he says in the Zohar, dreams are actually a revelation of a type of prophecy. In fact, all the prophets, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, would get their prophecies in dreams. That's when they got the prophecy, when they were sleeping at night in a dream. They got a vision from God, and that would be the prophecy. So Yisrael is telling him, why don't you guys tell me the dream? So one was hesitant. The butler said the dream. The baker didn't. Initially. So the butler said his dream to Yosef. And he said to him the following. V'chalemi, my dream. Behold, there was a grapevine right in front of me. In other words, the dream was that there was a vine and a grapevine in front of me. Uvagefen, and in this gefen, in this vine, shleisha sarigim, were three, here in the English you call it tendrils, long branches. The vine had three long branches. Ve'ika perachas, and it was as if it budded. Also nitza, it blossomed, bloomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. There's a lot just about this part of the dream itself. The Das Geinim Balatesis goes into a whole Megillah over here. The three vines, Yosef interpreted to mean, in 3 days, Paro is going to have a birthday and you're going to be free. But the three vines refers to the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Kaperachas, that it blossomed, refers to the Imois, to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. That the clusters ripened into grapes refers to the 12 tribes. And we'll see an interesting connection between the four cups of wine that we drink at the Seder and the butler's dream. We're going to see a connection between the butler's dream, because it says the word kais four times, which corresponds with the four cups of wine we drink at the Seder, and the connection between the two. But he says, so far, he said it had three branches, and the branches blossomed, and they turned into grapes. What else did he dream? The kais pare biyodi, and the cup of pare was in my hand. V'ekach aso anovim, and in the dream I took the grapes. V'eschat esam al kais pare, I took the grapes, squeezed them into pare's cup. V'etin as a kais al kaf pare, and I put the cup into pare's hand. Okay, so basically he says, and by the way, the Mefarshim say this all happened instantaneously in the dream. The vine happened and he blossomed and everything happened very quickly, which shows that this prophecy is going to happen very quickly, as Yosef will interpret it to me. Now the Mefarshim point out, what does this three branches mean? Yosef again interpreted it to mean the 3 days of Paro's birthday. The three vines mean Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The three vines refer to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. The vine is Yerushalayim. According to one person, the vine is Yerushalayim. The three branches is the Beis Hamikdash, the king, and the Kohen Gadol. And another thing is the branches are the pillar, the well, the man that fell from heaven. There's a lot of numbers three that this dream of the butler implies to. Now, as we said before from the Yerushalmi, it says that the four cups of wine we drink at the Pesach Seder correspond with the four times the word kos that it says in this dream of the butler. So the Kol Yaakov explains what's the connection, because he dreamt about three things, and therefore you should have this thing. So he explains as follows. Drinking wine symbolizes salvation from problems. What was the butler's dream? The butler's dream was that he was going to get out of captivity. That was his dream. He was now in prison, and he's going to get out of prison. The symbol of that was the fact that he drank wine. How did Yosef know that wine is a sign of freedom? Because wine by nature, like we know, why did the Chazal institute the four cups of wine? For the redemption that happened. When people celebrate, it's with wine. So what happened is, the wine symbolizes the butler's release from prison. Therefore, it symbolizes the Jews' release from captivity of Egypt. And that's why it's connected to the cup of Parai. And the Gemara says that there's going to be cups of wine in the future, cups of punishment the Parai is going to drink for what he did to the Jews. And therefore, this is all connected to the concept of Pesach, the slavery, the redemption, you know, pouring, the Jews are going to give Parai the cup of punishment eventually. And meanwhile, it's the sign of redemption. So therefore, there is a connection here between the action of Seder and this thing. Okay, so V'yamelei Yosef in Pasuk Yud Beis. Yosef said to the butler, Zap Yisraini, this is his interpretation. Shleishas Asarigim, the three things, is Shleishi Yomim Heim, is 3 days. Why did you see it? 3 days. Ba'eich Shleishas Yomim, in another 3 days, Yisa Parius Reshecha, Pari will lift up your head, meaning he'll mention you, he'll talk about you. Ve'eshivcha al kanecha, and he'll return you to your post of being the butler. Ve'nasata keis Pari b'kamishpat arishin, and you'll put the cup of Pari in his hand, like you originally did, asher yisa mashkeu, when he used to give it to him. Meaning, as the Mefarshim say, what do you mean Pari is going to take the cup from your hand? If you remember when we learned the story, why was the butler thrown into prison? According to one opinion, it wasn't only that there was a fly in the wine. Somebody told him that he wants to poison them. How did Pari figure it out? By having the fly in the wine, he understood something was wrong with the wine. It was a sign like from above. So they had him taste the wine and they found out it was poisonous. That's why he threw him into prison. So here the Pasuk says, Pari is going to take the cup directly from your hand. He won't even make you taste it. In other words, he's going to have such trust in you, he's not going to even doubt anymore the original story that you tried to poison him and therefore you should always taste the wine. He's going to take the wine straight from you. Now the Barbanel explains, obviously, even though this is a logical interpretation of Yosef's dream, but it's not. It's obviously divinely inspired, it's Ruach HaKodesh, it's prophecy, and he didn't get to it on his own wisdom to say, well, 3 days is going to be a birthday party, and this is what's going to happen. That's not what happened. This is going to be mamish, a form of prophecy. Now, as it says, Pari is going to pick you up. Now, the custom, as we'll soon learn in Psukim, it was Pari's birthday. And the custom was on a birthday, the king would go through all the servants and he would free a lot of prisoners and he would redeem a lot of people. That was the custom. By the way, as we'll soon get to the Pasuk, this is the biblical source for celebrating a birthday, by the way. This is the biblical source for celebrating a birthday.
Is from Paro?
Paro had a birthday.
So we learn from a guy to celebrate a birthday? I would think maybe we learn from the bris of
Yitzchak's party, but over there it doesn't say clearly in Chumash the concept of a birthday. This is the first concept of a birthday mentioned in Torah. So what's the difference who it's from? Torah says there's a concept of a birthday. And look what happened from it, by the way. Because of Pari's birthday, the butler became free. And when Pari had his dream, the butler told Pari, oh, by the way, this guy, you know, interpreted my dream. So Pari called him to interpret that whole situation took place because of Pari's birthday party. Okay, but we'll see when we get to the pasuk of a birthday party.
What? How come a
Okay. Now, Pasuk Yudalit is a very important Pasuk. I mean, every Pasuk is important, but this has a lot of teachings. Yosef says to the butler, okay, the interpretation of your dream is you're going to get out of prison, right? So now he says, I'm asking you a favor. Kiyim schartani itcha, if you would only think of me, kashe yitav loch, that going to be good for you. Vasisa na imadi chosed, and please do a favor to me. Viskartani al pari, you should mention me to pari. Vetisani min abayi sezeh, and get me out of here. Now, Dasgen Melotesis says, he says two things over here. His kartani al pari, okay? And then, he says first, im schartani itcha, you should remember me. And then he says again, viskartani al pari, get me mentioned to pari. What's the double expression? Yosef asked him two things. I'm asking you to do it yourself, and if not, at least through a messenger. At least get a messenger to be able to mention my name to pari to let him go. Because of this, Yosef was punished that he stayed an additional 2 years in prison. Because Yosef said, please, do me a favor, get me out of here, mention me good to pari, get me out of here. Because of that, Yosef stayed in prison another 2 years. So the question is, what did Yosef do wrong? He did the normal, natural thing of what a person should do. Hashem wants us to do things in a natural way. What?
But he divided it.
Huh?
Divided.
What do you mean divided?
Either directly or through a messenger.
One second. Question is, what did Yosef do wrong by saying to somebody, do me a favor, I'm in prison, he's be my lawyer and get me out of here. What's the problem? So the truth is, it was only wrong for a person on Yosef's level. Yosef should have understood that this whole thing, why he ended up in prison, is coming from Hashem, and therefore he should get out of prison based on Hashem. He shouldn't put his trust in a person. But halachically, for people that are not on Yosef's level, what?
It's Tanya on the Chumash,
no? For a person that's not on a great level, Hashem Befedish wants us to do things in the natural ways. Halachically, you have to do things in the natural way. Hashem doesn't want us to rely on Ein Semchan al Anes. You're not allowed to rely on a miracle. Say, well, I'm deathly ill, but I'll rely on a miracle. God will help. You have to go to the doctor. That's the natural way. If somebody has a problem, you have to go to a lawyer. Hashem wants everything done in the natural way. It's just for Yosef HaTzadik, on his great level, he should have had complete trust in Hashem that everything will be fine. Without any intermediaries. And that does, we'll get into more, we'll see, this is where Yosef went wrong, so to speak. Not that God forbid it's an Aveda. For Yosef's greatness, it was an Aveda, on his level. But in a regular thing, the commentators all ask, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to go on the natural channels and things like that. What?
Are you allowed to vote for a certain politician in Israel to determine the course of the country?
Why not?
So how come Chabad never gets on any kind of political...
They always vote.
But they never have a direct type of a...
They vote for the most religious party.
First is almost a never.
Huh?
They vote for the almost for the most religious party.
So they have a policy of who to vote for, or they...
No.
I thought, no.
No, because it's not a political... It's not supposed to be a political group.
Yeah, but it's influencing the...
It's influencing Yiddishkeit, but that's it. But halachically, a person has to go through the normal channels of nature. That's what halacha wants a person to do. So Yosef was only wrong, as the commentators say, only because he was this great level. He shouldn't have done it.
So you shouldn't go through normal channels?
You should.
But Yosef shouldn't?
Yosef shouldn't have. On his level, it should have been complete relying on Hashem. Because he should have realized that this whole thing is Hashkacha Pratis, divine providence, from beginning to end.
So is everything
else.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
This is a story, how many years is it after he's being there?
2 years.
Oh, so he gets 10 more years?
No, I'm sorry. It was at the end of a year, and then there's another 2 years later.
he's there total of 12 years?
Total 12 years.
So he gets 9 plus 2. Something
like right. Yosef was 17 when he was sold. Yosef was 10 years in prison. In fact, we said that before. If you just figure out the calculations, Yosef was 30 years old when he came in the presence of Potiphar. Yosef was sold at 17. Okay?
13 years in between.
13 years in between. And, you know, the first... he wasn't thrown into prison the first day. In fact, it says... One second. Ve'yi yomim ba'mishmar. One second. It says... Here. Ve'yi yomim ba'mishmar, 12 months. So Yosef was 12 months with them, but that was after he was there already for 10 years.
Is this supposed to teach us something, or is it just giving us a historical perspective? I
mean, what do you mean? What? Which part of it? Everything is here a lesson.
No, like he's in the...
What? The Mefarshim say before that the fact that he was in prison benefited him later years when he controlled the government of Egypt, that Barbanel says.
It benefited him.
The Jews had to be in Egypt to become refined, to be able to go out to become a nation. Many, many great tzaddikim had to go through a prison sentence. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into prison. All the way back when he was in Midian, he was in prison for a while. Great tzaddikim were in prison. That was a refining process to refine the person to make him on a higher level. The Jews in Egypt, it says, was actually a refining process to refine the Jews, to be able to make them a nation, to be able to receive the Torah. That's what it says. Okay, so now Yosef is starting to explain his problem. And he says, one more thing over here. He says, you'll be restored to your former post, and therefore, exactly as I predicted, therefore, the fact that you're coming back to prominence based on my interpretation, all you have to do is mention me to power and I'll get out of here. That's all you have to do. Now, he says two things. He said, I want you to recall yourself, myself to party by yourself, and he should do it through a shliach. At least through a shliach.
Where is the... How do you see that it was through a shliach?
Because he says as follows. In Pasuk Yudalid, Im Schartani Itcha, if you would think of me, yourself. And then he says, Viskatani El Pari.
And you should mention me to Paro.
Through somebody. Voschaticha Itoch. Remember me already. What's the second remembrance? The second remembrance is you should do it at least through a shliach.
And what's the last thing that the Nesir has mentioned him and he's free?
He said it by just by your realizing that he's going to listen to you.
Just by mentioning his name?
Right. He's going to ask him to get out and he'll take him out. Oh. And he starts explaining now what happened. Ki gunov ganafti, because I was stolen, may added to Ivrim from the land of the Ivrim. Ivrim refers to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who came from the other side of the river. He says, first of all, my being in Egypt was because I was kidnapped. Secondly, I never did anything here either. I was innocent. I will never start it up with Fatih for his wife. She started up with me. That they should put it into a pit. So over here, it says as follows. Rabbeinu Bachai explains, why did Yosef do it? Okay. Yosef said, everything is divine providence. Yosef understood, from Yosef's perspective, and again, this is a holy perspective, but for Yosef, it wasn't good. Rabbeinu Bachai explains the following. Yosef said, why in the world did God put the butler here? Divine providence. Why did he put him here? Obviously, that he should be used for a good cause. Why did God make that I had an association with the butler, that he came to me and I was able to interpret his dream? Because I have it's divine providence. So therefore, what should be? Why is Hashem doing it? Because this is the vehicle that I should be released. You know, they tell this famous story. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows the story. There was once a flood, and the water was coming up, and this religious guy said, God, save me. God, save me. I trust in you, you're going to save me. So a little rowboat came along, and the guy says, come, hop along, it's a flood, come, I'll give you a ride. No, I trust in God. Meanwhile, the water is getting higher, and the guy's davening, God, I trust you, you're going to save me. Finally, a larger ship comes along. He says, come quick, get up, the water is coming up, I'll save you. No, I trust in God. Finally, the water is coming up to here. And the guy says, God, I trust in you. And all of a sudden, God sends a helicopter, and the guy throws a rope down and says, come quick, I'll save you. No, I trust in God. So the guy died. He drowned. He comes up to heaven, he says, God, I don't understand you. I had so much trust in you, you couldn't save me? God says, what do you mean I didn't save you? I sent you a rowboat, I sent you a bigger boat, I sent you a helicopter. What else do you want me to do? Yosef said, if Hashem sent the butler into prison, what's it for? To be able to save
him. What about the second?
On Yosef's level, it was an Aveda. Why? That he was punished to be 2 more years in prison. Why? Because Yosef should have said, let Hashem do it without me mixing in at all. And that can only work, by the way, with really great tzaddikim. Chizkiya HaMelech had to fight a battle against Sanherib. Chizkiya HaMelech had to fight a war against Sanherib. You know what he did? He said to God, God, I'm going to sleep. Good night. It's your problem. You deal with it. And God made a miracle that Sanherib was destroyed. But somebody like Chizkiya could do that. Every other Jew has to go fight. You can't say to God in a war, okay, God, I'm going to sleep, you fight the battle. It won't work. For Chizkiya Melech, who was such a great tzaddik, that's the way he had to do it. A normal person should go to the butler and to the baker and to the whatever they can to get all the channels to get him out of prison. On Yosef's level, Yosef HaTzadik should have said, God, I'm completely up to you. Whatever you do is fine with me.
What do we need the second minister?
The baker?
The first one was enough, yeah?
No, well, because obviously there's something you're teaching for the second lesson too.
Yeah, but the first one was said to save yourself. And then you need the only one.
What's the b'chal the lesson of the baker's dream? We'll see, we're not there yet.
The Alter Rebbe that asked somebody whether
he
should go to jail or not?
The Alter Rebbe asked Shmuel Menkes if he should go to jail or not. Yes, because he could have done it supernaturally. Many tzaddikim were able to do a lot of things supernaturally, but they preferred to go in the ways of nature. Because the Gemara says an expression, I'll give you an example. There's the famous story with the Alter Rebbe. When the Alter Rebbe was already in prison, okay, and the prison cell wasn't an island that the prisoners shouldn't be able to escape, but when they needed to go to interrogation, they took him by boat, small boat, from the prison cell to the interrogation room. So the Alter Rebbe was coming by boat, it was the middle of the week, and he saw a moon. He wanted to do Kiddush Levana. So the Alter Rebbe asked the driver of the boat, the captain, please stop the boat, I want to do Kiddush Levana. So the guy laughed at him, he said, you're a prisoner, I'm going to stop the boat, are you crazy? So the Alter Rebbe said, okay, fine. The Alter Rebbe stopped the boat. Miraculously, the Alter Rebbe stopped the boat. Then the Alter Rebbe said to the guy, as follows, you see that I could stop the boat? You see that I could stop the boat? So I'm asking you for a favor, I'm going to restart the boat, I want you to stop the boat, and I'm going to do Kiddush Levana. So the captain saw he had no choice. So he stopped the boat, and now the Rebbe did Kiddush Levana. So the Rebbe asks a question on the story. Once the boat stopped already, why didn't he just do Kiddush Levana when he stopped the boat? I understand he didn't want to stand when the boat was moving, okay? But once he stopped the boat already, why didn't he do it? And the answer is, because you don't do mitzvahs to miracles.
If the Alter Rebbe stopped the boat, if the Alter Rebbe stopped the boat miraculously, then he's doing a mitzvah through a miracle. And that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants that the world, the mitzvahs should be done in the natural way of the world. Okay? And I'll give you an example. The Rebbe once spoke about this. The end of the Gemara Hodias is a very interesting story. The yeshiva in a certain city was looking for a head of the yeshiva. They were looking for a Rosh Yeshiva. And they had two choices. Rabba and Rav Yosef. They had two choices. One was quality, one was quantity. They didn't know who to pick. So they sent back, quantity is better than quality. So they said Rav Yosef should become the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Yosef refused. And therefore Rabba took over as the, if he refused, then they had no choice, he took Rabba. Says Rabba ruled, I think it was 20 years. For those 20 years that Rabba ruled the yeshiva, Rav Yosef didn't need a doctor. What's the connection? So the commentator says, explain simply, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to live in a city where there's no doctor. You know, according to Shulchan Aruch, a Jew is forbidden to live in a city where there's no doctor. Why? Because normally, a person gets sick. Normally, you need a doctor. If you live in a city where there's no doctor, you're relying on miracles. Because by nature, you do get sick and you need a doctor. The fact that Rav Yosef didn't need a doctor for 20 years showed that Rav Yosef lived by miracles. So it brings out the greatness of Rav Yosef that for the 20 years that he declined to be Rosh Yeshiva, he ended up living on miracles. What was the proof he lived on miracles? For 20 years, he never needed a doctor.
What is the connection?
What? So many tzaddikim live from a supernatural lifestyle. Most people don't live from a supernatural lifestyle. They have to live from a natural lifestyle. But there are certain tzaddikim, like Rav Yosef of the Gemara, that lived lechatchila in a supernatural lifestyle.
What is the connection that he didn't take this position?
Because of the fact that he gave it up and he had such bittul, so Hashem rewarded him. There's another interesting story. There's another interesting story. When the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, was on the boat coming over from Europe to America, he got very sick on the boat. And there was a doctor, Yiddish doctor on board. And the doctor physically saved the Friedrich Rebbe's life. Afterwards, the doctor came to the Rebbe and apologized. The doctor came to the Rebbe and apologized. So the Rebbe said, "Why are you apologizing? You saved my life. Why are you apologizing?" So the doctor said to him, "If I wouldn't have been on the boat, you wouldn't have gotten sick. The only reason you got sick was because there was a doctor on the board and the boat that could cure you. But if I wouldn't have been on the boat, you wouldn't have gotten sick. Hashem wouldn't let you get sick like that if there's no doctor to cure you. So it's my fault that you got sick." There are certain people that live in most of us, 99.9999% of us, have to live in a natural way. That's what Halacha says, you have to live in a natural way. A city, no doctor, you're not allowed to live there. Because by nature, you need a doctor. Certain tzaddikim live lechatchila on a supernatural lifestyle. Yosef HaTzadik, on his level, had to live a supernatural lifestyle. Therefore, why are you going through the channels of nature telling the butler to remember you to party? On Yosef's level, that's no good. Us, we have an obligation to do that. So Rabbeinu Bachai explains, that's what Yosef was, it is. Now,
Supernatural to go to prison.
It was. When innocent people go to prison, it's supernatural.
on that level of supernatural?
He was innocent. Right. Now, why did God make him go to prison? Is that natural? Natural is cause and effect. Right? You sin, you get punished. If you get punished and you don't sin, that's not that's supernatural.
If he didn't rely into these guys, he would have given up 2 years earlier.
On his level.
He couldn't say about those dreams, and Paro would send them back to a prison that didn't tell me their right interpretation of dreams. I mean, where did that go?
But once it says as follows. What happened, though? Let's play this. He says the opposite. What happens if the butler would have remembered Yosef? And Yosef would have been taken out of prison? He said, what would he open? A dream store? A shop for interpretation of dreams? And he says, as the Mefarshim say, even his staying in prison was divine providence. Because by dealing with all these political prisoners, he learned how to run a government. From all the political prisoners, by staying in prison long, he was able to... What was your question?
I have a question. First of all, Rabbi Yosef, if it was reward, that he was 20 years not sick, this is not miracle, this is reward. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him
but it means he lived a miraculous lifestyle, above nature. Even it's not a it's not a question of reward. It's a, not needing a doctor for 20 years is a supernatural lifestyle. The reward was that he lived a supernatural lifestyle, but it's supernatural because by nature you get sick.
Okay, the other question: if Rebbe caused the boat to stop, and not in the indirect way, he did it.
It was still connected to a miracle.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was not 100% nature.
It was nature.
If he didn't do a miracle before this to stop
but it. Once the guy stopped it, he stopped it. He influenced him to stop it. But the fact was, the boat was stopped by nature, not by supernatural.
I want to know, what was the...
Are you allowed to live in a city without lawyers?
I wanted to know if that was also...
It's a good shaila.
I want to ask you, what was when the brothers came in, what did they learn from that? He said he learned from the...
Don't start up with your older brothers.
That's what he learned?
There's a lot of lessons you learn from Evie's, but those that we discussed already, we're going through that again. No, but the point is, everything that happens in these stories are lessons for the future of the entire Jewish nation.
But the kids are...
What?
Can you throw me one little crumb?
What, being thrown in the pit? No. That being thrown in the pit was the preface and the preparation for him being sold, which eventually led to the Jews being thrown in a pit, meaning in Golis Mitzrayim, and eventually getting out of it and becoming the top of the world. In history, Jews are thrown into exile, but the end result and the purpose of the exile is to come out as the chief leader of the whole superpower of the world. That's the Jewish history.
Sounds nice.
We're thrown into a pit. We're thrown into a pit, into prison. What's the purpose of it? That led to the fact that it was 100% good. What?
I apologize for interrupting the wonderful flow of your talk. But is there another reason for living the life of mitzvah in the natural realm is to leave the other realms intact and...
The reason why it's important for a Jew to live in natural setting, because Hashem wanted a dwelling place in nature. It's greater to take nature and make nature into God. I'll give you an example. You have two. I mentioned this at a different class today. You have two different types of people. Let's say a boss. You can have a boss that yells and screams and, so to speak, bulldozes the people to get him to do what he wants. You know? And everybody's scared. Everybody's scared of him, and they do it. That's one way. There's a greater accomplishment. Not that you go work against the people. Okay, not that you work against the world. You utilize the world to serve Hashem. That's a much greater accomplishment. For instance, there is, and this is, by the way, the Baal Shem Tov's, one of the Baal Shem Tov's unique ways of serving God that contradicted the path of serving God right in the time of the Baal Shem Tov and before the Baal Shem Tov. Before the Baal Shem Tov, the philosophy of the righteous Jews at that time was the body is fighting against the soul, the body contradicts godliness, the body contradicts serving God, therefore get rid of the body. What do? Fast, torture yourself, like they used to roll naked in ant hives to get bitten up, and they would go into golus, and they would exile, and all these crazy things to torture their body, because they maintained the body is in the way of serving God, and it contradicts God. Okay? The Baal Shem Tov came along and said, no. Don't break world. Utilize world to serve God at a much greater level. It's much easier, by the way, to break people than to work with the people that they should also do what you want them to do. It's a much greater level. It's very easy. If you have a powerful person, you're a powerful bulldozer, you can bulldoze people very easily. There's a greater accomplishment. Don't break the world. Utilize world to serve God. And the Baal Shem Tov even interpreted this as a pasuk, and this is brought down in a Yem Yem. The Baal Shem Tov interpreted a pasuk, it says, and the pasuk simply means, Kisira chamer senacha, if you will see the donkey of your enemy. Your enemy's donkey. Reivitz tachas masoi, struggling under its load. That means the animal's overloaded, but it's your enemy's donkey. V'chadalta mi'azoid loy, you might think, I'm not going to help him, because it's my enemy. So the Torah says, Oziv tazivima, you have to help him. That's what the simple pasuk means. So the Baal Shem Tov said, Ki sira chamer. Chamer is not only a donkey, but if you switch the letters around, it's chomer. Chomer is coarseness, mundane. Chumriyut. Gashmius is physical. Chumriyus is mundane. It's low, it's coarse. Okay? Ki sira chamer. When you look at your own chumrius, your own body, your yetzahar, and so on, you will see it's really sanach, it's really your enemy. But, v'chadalta me'azev loy, you might think I shouldn't help him. The Torah says, no. Azev tazev imay, work with him. It's a much greater level to make the body serve God than to break the body. It's a much greater level. Nature,
even when you go through the process of the struggle,
yes, nature is the way God wants us to do mitzvahs. You can't do mitzvahs through miracles. It's forbidden. In fact, there's the famous story by Hanukkah. How did they light the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash with the miracle oil that lasted for 8 days? It's miracle oil. You're not allowed to do a mitzvah with miracle oil. And the commentators have a very difficult time with that question. They have a very difficult time. It's miracle oil. You can't do mitzvahs with miracles.
When they begin, they didn't know that it's
miracle oil. I understand, but they lit it every night with miracle oil. Right? Because God doesn't want us to do mitzvahs through miracles. Why? Because then we're not elevating world. World is nature. Hashem says, I created the world for you to elevate the world, nature, to Kedusha. To take supernatural and make serving God out of it, what's the big deal? There's a greater level. You take nature and you serve God with that nature. But again, there are a few exceptional people. Yosef HaTzadik wasn't on that level. Another thing that the Mefarshim explain, what was Yosef's sin? Not so much that he put his trust in the baker, and in the butler. Yosef over here started complaining for the first time. Yosef until now accepted everything God did to him, he accepted. All of a sudden, he's talking to the butler, he starts saying, oh, you know something? I don't even belong here, I was stolen, and here I didn't do anything, and I don't belong in the... What are you complaining about? all of a sudden you're complaining?
Rabbi Shusterman, he's so alone, he's all alone, he's been dropped since 17, he's there all this time, he's fed up, he's not saying, I'm questioning Hashem, he's saying, look, you're going to get out of here. I understand your point where you're saying God should have known better, but he just said, look, if you can't...
Some of Hashem say what Jesus just should have said to the butler is, do me a favor and please remember me. What's he going into this whole kvetching bit?